Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 106. Ben Stark of Wondermill Films. Matt Scalisi, editor of FilmNerds.com.
Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good.
I told my wife and then a coworker this morning, hey, there's a new Star Wars trailer. And like, it, in both cases, they looked at me like, well, that was fast. And I was like, yeah, I know.
It's
so
great.
I've had so much fun explaining what this is to people. Of course, I've had a lot of fun watching the trailer over and over again. Yeah, so we're talking about the Rogue One, A Star Wars Story trailer, which I believe is the official title of the movie. I don't know if we're going to get too critical in terms of nitpicking it, because I think this is a pretty fantastic trailer, and I don't think I need to see anything else to assure myself to be there opening day.
I mean, there's just a lot of great material in it, and aside from the visuals, which I think looks not only like they've, you know, done what one of the things we all loved about The Force Awakens so much, which was to go back and make the, you know, recreate the aesthetic of the original films. So they've done that here. But I think on top of that, it's a completely new set of characters for the most part. And they showed us enough in this trailer to kind of get me interested in this kind of strange pack of characters. I think that this just looks like tonally they've really built upon a lot of the stuff that people love about The Force Awakens.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that, my big skepticism here, I'm a fan of Gareth Edwards. I like monsters. I really like Godzilla a lot, especially on further viewings. But both of those films do deal a lot in the shadows and creatively kind of hide things and sometimes leading some people to get frustrated about Godzilla. But he is, in those two films, he's been very much a he's been a character-based director and a theme-based director with really compelling visuals. But he's very strategic with how he divvies out those visuals. So that was about the only thing I was thinking was, well, is that style going to work for this, a Star Wars movie that needs to be big and bright, and this, you know, it's literally a ongoing story about light versus dark, so light is very important. So I was a little bit concerned about that, and then one of the number one things that blows me away about this trailer is how bright it is and how beautifully put together it is. I mean, it doesn't necessarily look like it has the ornate kind of, you know, camera moves and blocking and things that you get in The Force Awakens, but definitely, you know, the widescreen anamorphic feel is there. The CGI looks fantastic. All the sets and all the costumes look so lived in and authentic, and the lighting is beautiful. So, yeah, my one kind of hesitation has been totally blown away by this trailer.
Well, I actually was probably a little bit, I don't know if I remember everybody's opinions about Gareth Edwards going into this, but like, I know that I was a big fan of Godzilla, and I think part of it was maybe my expectations. I didn't have any reason to be particularly excited about a Godzilla movie. It's not really my thing. And I just really enjoyed the presentation of it. I love that he made a Godzilla movie that was about a group of people having to deal with a world in which there is a Godzilla and other such monsters running around. And I think that's kind of, when you look at this trailer, you can see why it was a fit, because this is basically, looks like a movie about a group of people, you know, dealing with this horrific big giant monster, which is the Death Star. And, you know, I think also there are visual flares that I could see in this trailer that reminded me of things that he did in Godzilla that I liked a lot.
Oh, yeah.
A shot there's a shot where we're sort of seeing these troops, these rebel troops basically running out into the open, and they're being fired upon by AT-ATs. And that, for some reason, it made me think immediately of that, the skydiving sequence from Godzilla. It's this kind of slightly POV looking, you know, military action shot.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the scale of, what it made me think of in Godzilla is there's that shot where all the planes are blowing up and you're looking through a window and it's like each plane is blowing up another one, and then finally you land on one that lights up Godzilla's foot. And it's this elaborate thing where you see people in the foreground and then you see something in the distance that is huge, you know, and the camera has to kind of like work really hard to get a look at it. That's kind of what I got out of it and what was so encouraging. And that's what I was mixed on Godzilla at first, and then the more I thought about it and watched it, watched it a second time, it really worked for me a lot because of the directing, because of the choices that Gareth Edwards makes in framing action and framing big things. I just think that he's and like you said, balancing character and then theme. And I think that's one great thing about this trailer is that for all the visual stuff that we're talking about, it really is anchored on this one lead character whose name I already forget, played by, I believe that's Felicity Jones. Is that
right?
Yeah,
that's right.
And it's great that we're getting another Star Wars movie that seems to be about people. It's crazy to think that that is the Rosetta Stone to making a good blockbuster, but it sure does help. You know, it starts you off on the right foot if you're focused on character.
And they chose, I mean, I didn't know anything about Daisy Ridley going into The Force Awakens. Obviously, they saw enough from her to know she was incredibly likable as an on-screen presence, and she's a person that is a joy to watch. I have seen enough of Felicity Jones to know that I'm already convinced. I mean, I think she's a very strong screen presence. I think she's very likable, and I'm interested to see her in the lead role of this movie. I would say one interesting thing that's already emerged from the trailer discussion of this movie, and you know, I don't know how much of a percentage of the audience this really represents, because people can blow things up on Twitter now, but there are already sort of nerd Twitter bros who are upset about the fact that, you know, another Star Wars movie with a female protagonist. Like, there are people who are basically saying this is being forced upon us, and that, you know, I guess they're wondering, like, is this Kathleen Kennedy doing, you know, trying to make this a female-driven thing? I don't understand anybody that would be upset about it, and not to sound like David Brent, but I truly didn't even think about that when I first saw the trailer. I really didn't even think about the fact that it was a female protagonist again. But, you know, I don't think they're trying to make these girly movies. I think that's pretty obvious.
No,
like,
clearly.
These are still movies that are probably primarily going to have a male audience. And I don't think that men have shown themselves in recent years to be, like, averse to a female protagonist. I mean, we all liked Mad Max. We all liked a lot of these movies that have come out. And I think we're starting to see, I think the only reason it's even an issue is because there weren't any movies in this genre that had female leads before. And it's just a thing that actually occasionally happens now.
Yeah, I agree with you that it's kind of a non-issue. You know, I trust Gareth Edwards and people telling these stories. If there's nothing else about The Force Awakens, it's that it instilled a trust in me of that these people are telling these stories the way that they feel like they should be told. We should, for the most part, trust them with that. And honestly, worst case scenario, if there is some sort of evil, you know, feminist conspiracy to make Star Wars about women, okay. Like, I don't care. That's great. I just don't understand, like, what's your worst case scenario here? Like, what's being taken away from you if somebody actually has that problem?
Right. Are there Star Wars fans who are like, I can't identify with this anymore?
Right. Exactly.
The movie no longer speaks to me.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It makes no sense. And if you look at it in the grand scheme of things outside of Star Wars, you know, we are still lacking a tremendous amount of big blockbuster movies with female protagonists. So, you know, maybe it's good that the biggest franchise out there is, you know, trying to set a trend. I mean, as great as Marvel is, they have had trouble launching a female-driven franchise. So,
I mean, they haven't even tried in a lot of cases, but most of these folks haven't really given this much of a shot yet, but there's every year that goes by, we're getting more examples of times that it works. And at worst, I think people just don't, it's just not as much of a thing that even needs to be discussed. As long as you cast likable people in those roles and you write good material for them, it's going to be good. And, you know, I really think, you know, all the concerns about Edwards that you've mentioned, all the other things that might have made this movie feel like less of an event, like something we're not quite as excited about as another full-fledged Star Wars movie, I don't feel any of those things right now. And I really think, you know, moving this franchise to Disney has put it in the hands of a group of people that, even though they've obviously hired what I think are talented people to make these movies, I think they're never going to allow any movie to go out under this brand that they're not feeling very sure is consistent with the other things that they want to put out. So, I mean, I think, I know that's kind of gross, and I'm sure there are people who, you know, from an artistic standpoint, don't like the idea of a studio or a brand having some creative control over what these movies look like. But I really think I really don't think it's a bad thing. I think if Marvel is any indication and Pixar is any indication, Disney has shown that from a sort of production standpoint, they know how to make these things consistent. They know how to make sure that what's being put out fits with what has come before. And I do think that's important, because I think the whole reason we're going to see a Star Wars movie is because we hope that it's at least a little bit like the other ones that we like.
Yeah, but I don't think it's, I mean, obviously we don't have a huge sample size yet, but I don't think it's a big deal. You know, I think that The Force Awakens is clearly a J.J. Abrams movie. For better or worse, a lot of people can easily draw thematic lines between it and his other films, and certainly stylistic lines. But also, I think that this looks like a Gareth Edwards movie. I mean, it looks different, but it's still like we pulled out those few shots that kind of evoke Godzilla. I think that this is totally consistent. So I think it's just a matter of casting. You know, you look at the material on the page and you say, okay, this character is this character. We can cast, Rosie O'Donnell, or we can cast Jaleel White. But, you know, there's one is not better than the other, but there is a correct casting decision, or at least a close casting decision. And I think that, you know, you can pick a director like Gareth Edwards for Star Wars, or you can call up Lars von Trier, and, you know, what you're going to get is what they have given you in the past. So
it'd
I feel like
it'd just be a 2.5-hour scene of that torture robot from Star Wars.
It would be the inside of the Sarlacc pit. Whatever happens in there, that's what the Von Trier Sarlacc would be. Sarlacc, a Star Wars story. I mean, you see what I'm saying in that
1,000 years of digestion.
You see what I'm saying in that they've done a good job of saying, okay, here's our tone, now let's go find filmmakers that can match that, rather than finding filmmakers that will pummel into submission until they match that tone, you know?
For sure. I mean,
I think Rian Johnson and Colin Trevorrow are pretty consistent with that, and Lord and Miller, too.
Yeah, if Lord and Miller's kind of an oddball one. I think we're all still a little bit sort of waiting to see what that looks like, but I get...
Well,
I agree. I think what's really fascinating too is look, I'm a huge Marvel fanboy, obviously, but if there's any criticism that I would sort of validate about the way Marvel has produced their movies. It's that they have picked maybe people with less of a unique identity to impose upon their movies.
And they've also picked people with unique identities like Patty Jenkins and Edgar Wright, and did that thing.
And it hasn't worked out. Sure,
they kind of beat them up until they were like, "Well, I can't do this," and that's unfortunate.
I think this is kind of an interesting thing to watch, how this plays out, because they have picked people with pretty strong, identities as directors. And if this whole experiment works out, if 2 or 3 years from now, you know, we have a group of movies that all fit together as a franchise, but yet, you know, are these unique movies that bear the clear marks of their filmmakers. I think in a way, I wonder how that will have an effect on some of the other things that Disney's doing under its umbrella, and maybe people outside of that too. Although so far, Disney's highly successful model of doing these mega franchises does not seem to have influenced anybody outside of Disney to like look at how they're actually doing it and try to replicate it. But I do wonder within Disney. I wonder if this Star Wars experiment works out here, whether it will have an influence on the way that studio makes movies going forward, makes big franchise tentpole movies.
Well, once we get 21 Men in Jump Street, then we'll be able to say for sure.
I'm legitimately excited about that, by the way.
I guess my only other reservation is the idea of a prequel, but because, like you said earlier, these are all totally new characters, that doesn't really bother me. And like you said, they seem like they're doing a really responsible thing in that, look, we all want new and original stuff out in movie theaters, especially in big blockbuster movies, and we can't get that in a Star Wars movie, but we're getting pretty close. You know, when we get introduced to a new set of characters, this filmmaker who's been apparently, you know, as far as we can tell, been given free rein to tell his story, and you know, all that needs to really be done is, hey, just make sure you don't blow up the Death Star in this movie. That's like the only thing that we know can't happen. Like, I feel like there's so much space to play in there, creatively and narratively, that it's as close as we can get to a totally new and original blockbuster without, you know, writing space pirates or something across the top. And they're like downplaying the Star Wars branding in a way. So I think they're trying to do the best thing that they can, which is to give us something new and fresh in the theaters that doesn't rely on, you know, hey, this is a Skywalker story and it's an episode number and it's more of the thing that you got last Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great for them to use. I mean, look, people have for a very long time been intrigued by an expanded version of the Star Wars story. I mean, they've made lots of money for decades telling other stories that took place on the periphery, and that all obviously has been sort of disavowed by Disney at this point. But now I think Disney's seeing that there was an appetite for that, and now that, you know, an even larger audience has sort of re-embraced this franchise, you can see why they would want to dig in and create some more of that material for people.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been that big of a extended universe fan. I mean, I like Shadows of the Empire. But the video game, but I've never really, you know, had much of a desire to go further. But as soon as I saw this trailer and you start seeing these new characters, you know, whoever Diego Luna is playing, you know, you see all these other characters, you're like, oh man, I kind of want to learn more about this. And that's what drives me to want to check out the new Marvel Comics lines that they've got. And so whatever they're doing is working, because they've taken me a pretty passive Star Wars fan, and made me not just appreciate their movies and their filmmaking, but they're pulling me more into their universe. So it, whatever they're doing, I think it's working, at least on me. Real quick about the cast, I don't know a whole lot about this movie except for the basic premise, and I don't really need to know a whole lot more. But I was kind of flabbergasted by a few of the folks that popped up in this. There's Donnie Yen, who was made famous in the well, his fight choreography, but also in the Ip Man movie series. He's got a moment here that looks pretty awesome. Hopefully, it's not as small as the role given to the guys from The Raid in The Force Awakens.
Right.
But, also, I had no idea that Ben Mendelsohn was in this movie, and there's one awesome shot of him in this kind of white Empire garb.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite shots in the trailer. So,
oh yeah.
Who remind me who Ben Mendelsohn is?
He is an Australian actor. He was in, I believe, one of the major ones he was in is Animal Kingdom, which I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah.
He was also in Killing Them Softly, and he was Daggett in The Dark Knight Rises. He was kind of
okay.
Like Bane's business flunky guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah, he's a really, really, really compelling actor. I had no idea he was in this. And then Forrest Whitaker pops up, and when I was watching it with a coworker, and he cracked up because who expects Forrest Whitaker
Forrest
show up
Whitaker
in a Star Wars movie?
Like, I guess he's like some kind of cyborg samurai Jedi thing. Who knows? He looks awesome in this movie.
Yes, and the way his delivery just like so beautifully, you know, wraps up the trailer and again brings it back to the character stuff that it's really exciting to see a. Who are these people? And then B, you know, how are they interacting and where do they go and what where do they end up? And I know Mads Mikkelsen is in this movie, but I
yep.
don't see him in this trailer, and that's exciting. And I don't want to know, you know, now that I've seen this, I don't want to know who he is, what he's there for, you know, what his introduction to see. I don't want to know anything. I don't want to see him. I'm just ready to see this movie.
Well, I'm sure we will get another trailer before the year is over. And I mean, The big thing about this is this is all going really like as well as I could have hoped for when they announced they were going to restart all of this stuff and start doing this again. And I feel the same way about, you know, the Marvel movies right now. I just feel like there was a period of time. And look, I know some people don't feel this way at all. Some people totally disagree with me and they feel like they're getting sick of this and that this stuff is taking over Hollywood. But I love it, and for me to look at these you know release schedules that are running through 2020, and I can look at that and go, man, every single year from now until I who knows even what I will be doing, there will be new Marvel movies every single year. There will be a new Star Wars movie every single year. It's so cool to me. I mean, I don't think I will get tired of it. I really don't. I think as long as they keep making good movies, I will be very excited about it every single year, and I'll keep showing up. And I mean, let's make this a December tradition. Let's all get super pumped and go see a Star Wars movie every December.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. It's really fun, and look, industry wide, I think it is a problem, but I also have the ability to, you know, set that aside and then look at this one company with these two properties that seems to really be doing it very well. And I think we should appreciate that. And I think that we should look back to days when blockbusters weren't very good and they weren't worth looking forward to. And the only reason we did look forward to them is because there was nothing else to look forward to, you know? So, as much as I love Anaconda, you know, Armageddon,
just think,
Impact,
if ever you get tired of it, just remember that there was a summer in your life where you were super pumped to go see Roland Emmerich's Godzilla.
Yeah, or the Planet of the Apes Burton remake.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that it took this long to make blockbusters consistently good and exciting. But yeah, I think, and honestly, if you get tired of it, just stop paying attention. Like there's still plenty of other movies. There's still plenty of other movies coming out. And,
right.
And these
are you
very
mad that
they're?
Are you mad that we're not making dumb Michael Bay movies anymore? Like,
yeah.
I think for whatever reason there are smart people in a position to make these big franchise movies that people have, you know, positive associations with already. And, I mean, it's all good. You're going to have people that hate on it every time, but for the most part, people are loving these things. And I'm excited about them. They become a fun event for me to look forward to.
Yeah. And who knows what this opens up for all the people that are involved, you know, like an actor like Ben Mendelsohn or Felicity Jones. I mean, just look at the trailer for Swiss Army Man, with Daniel Radcliffe, you know, a bunch of normal people that aren't into film have been talking to me about that movie, and they wouldn't be if not for the Harry Potter series. And that looks like a really interesting and challenging movie. And so
that's a good description. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In many ways. And look, and that the only reason that happened is because of a giant blockbuster franchise. And so I think we just need to look at the big picture and appreciate what we're getting.
More Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.